Welcome to Believe. My name is Nicholas Upchurch. I'm so happy and honored you're here with me today. We have an amazing guest coming up on the show. Of course, our iTunes is believeiTunes.com, our YouTube, youtube.com/believeLovesYou. And for Android users, believeAndroid.com. And our umbrella site, our main website, of course, is believe.love. So I want to know, in the category of true success, let's talk about right now New Year's resolutions. Of course, January is almost over. It's 2017. What are your New Year's resolutions? I'd love to hear your comments on our website, believe.love, if you find this video there, or on our YouTube channel. What are your New Year's resolutions for 2017, and how is it going? Are we able to stick to those? I know for me, actually, to be honest, I didn't specifically sit and think, I'm going to make some this year. I'm going to do this, this, and this starting in 2017. I was so happy that my mother actually told me that she's making some changes. She really believes in herself. I was so excited about that. In general, I can tell you what I'd love to do this year. I would love to continue to do some of the things that we're doing that I'm talking about on this channel. We now have amazing guests we're interviewing from all over the world in different categories. Our categories, of course, are true success, money and business, health and wellness, world news, and our universe. And so we're going to help you in so many ways. But in addition, I can't wait to hire more people, hire reporters around the world. We're looking at a bigger studio right now. We're looking to expand. We're looking to have more shows. I want to have more people on the air. So that's what I want to continue to do. Actually, walk the walk. You know, there's certain things I'm talking about that I think are good for all of us, including me, in terms of finding harmony in ourselves. I actually, before I recorded this episode, I had to go lay down and literally process all of the emotions from changing. There's something called the lizard brain that neuroscientists talk about. It can prevent us from changing. It can actually cause a little bit of pressure, and I was literally trying to find the beauty in that pressure in my head, actually process the sadness and everything keeping me that might have given me fear before, and find the beauty in it and let it melt away with the energy flowing to that part of my brain at that time. And all of us are different. Certain people don't have to do things like that. They can just rock it out. But for me, that's what I have to do. So leave your comments. I'd love to hear your thoughts. And we have some great stuff coming up for you this year and even in this episode, so stay tuned. And joining us now in Believe is Mark Miller. Mark owns a website, careerpivot.com. His career journey included 22 years at IBM. Before we started recording this interview, he was just telling me about some amazing business experience at a startup. Mark actually is an engineer, and he actually mentioned he's a recovering engineer. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Great.
Yeah, I'm a recovering engineer. There is a 12-step program for that.
And I was telling him, my father's the same way. He worked at General Motors for so many years. So, Mark, you help a lot of people sort of through the proverbial career desert, right? People that might want to make a change in their career, they're not sure what fulfills them in their career. Tell us what you do over at careerpivot.com. I thought it was a really cool website.
Sure. I tend to work with what I refer to as square pegs in the second half of life. And what I mean by a square peg, you know, there's a square peg that fits in the round hole. Many of us in our careers, we have we take and shove ourselves down into that square peg, and in such a way that we don't know who the hell we are.
Right.
We take on the image of our employer, society. If you're younger, what your parents wanted you to do. In fact, I was having a discussion today with several lawyers, and why are you a lawyer? Because my mom and dad wanted me to.
It seems like a thing that means success, being a lawyer, right?
That's right. I end up a lot in my generation. My mantra is for boomers and late Gen Xers are, We were raised to be employees, to go work for father-like companies. That would take care of us. And, oh, by the way, they moved our cheese 3/4 of the way through. And we were supposed to go for 30 years and then be able to ride off into the sunset and retire. Well, yeah, it didn't work. And so I work, I'm a Berkman consultant. I use the Berkman assessment. I will literally start off by picking your personality apart. Taking you back to the worst of times and the best of times, and getting you to understand why, you know, why that situation in your career really sucked. And you're going, oh, I don't want to do that again. I know why it was so bad. Or, you know, I had this, you know, I used the example, Teresa Abernathy was my best manager ever. I can tell you now exactly why. And now I can go look for that. So, and then we go pursue looking for places that meet those criteria. For many of us, it is more important. It's more important to have the right environment and the right people around us than what we do.
Well, I could see that. And in fact, there are a lot of factors working in terms of changes, right? So my father would have said the same thing. You know, he just retired literally in the past year, and he worked for General Motors for 40 years. And he said, people don't do that anymore. So first of all, you have that factor working, that it seems like people are jumping around more in terms of from company to company. And then the second thing is what you're saying about environment and the feeling and your purpose. And so how do you balance those two things? So on the one hand, you have the workplace is changing. People are jumping around careers maybe a little bit more nowadays. And then you have this fulfillment that, you know, the environment's important, the people, how you feel, your purpose. So how do you work with those two things and sort of balance those in terms of your life and your career?
Well, one of the things you have to remember, jobs are no longer for forever. Careers aren't forever. I wrote a blog post last year called Has Your Job Been Smacked? That's social, mobile, analytics, and cloud. Just about every job has been touched by one of those four. So if you think your job is immune and will last forever, or, you know, your profession will stay the same, get over it. It ain't. On top of that, so you need to stay on top of where things are going within your profession, but also be acutely aware of who the heck you are. And don't compromise that. And, you know, I turned 60 last year. Mm-hmm. I am not the same person I was when I was 25. Is as we grow and mature, be able to understand what's important. It's kind of like right now, I'm focusing on, quote, the second half of life.
Right.
Right? The second half of life. In my case, I was 46. I had a near-fatal bicycle accident. I hit a car head-on at 50 miles an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, around the same time, my son graduated from high school, went off to college. By the way, he turned into a decent human being, got off my payroll.
Thank God.
And
that's good.
Yeah, it's right before the Great Recession. And so my perspective changed. And you have to be aware that over time, your perspective will change. And does that continue to fulfill you? This is really important for the kids. And by the way, anyone I'm old enough to be their father as a kid, this is real important because things are going to continue to change and not stay the same. And in my case, that's one of the things I was raised to believe. I was going to go work for a company for,
of course, you know,
for 30 or 40 years. And my parents expected me to go work for a father-like company, which I did. I went to work for IBM.
Mm-hmm. 22
years. Then they screwed me in my pension and I went, I'm leaving. And
I've heard that.
Right?
Different companies did that. Yeah. They had to. Someone went bankrupt, but still, that's not good. So what happened then, actually? What did you do?
I picked up and went to work for a successful startup, a semiconductor startup, Agera, which was bought out by Lucent. I joke, I'd rather be lucky than good. I wrote out both the dot-com recession and the Great Recession at successful tech startups.
That's amazing, especially the one in 99. That was the one in 99 you're talking about?
I left January 1st of 2000 and went to work for a semiconductor startup. And we were bought out for $450 million. Didn't get me rich, but got me debt free. And then I joined LifeSize Communications December of 2007. You want to talk about good timing?
Wow. And what happened with that, that latest one?
We didn't make a whole lot of money out of it, but I was well paid during from 2009 through 2011, which, or 2007 through 2011. So those were all good when many of my friends were getting laid off.
Yeah, definitely with the crash of 08. And I know with tech companies, sometimes the salaries can be pretty good if they're hiring in the U.S. and they have funding and they have money to hire. It's tough though if it doesn't work out and you're a founder, but then people pick up and try again. And so you actually, it ended up pretty good for you. I wanna circle back to something you mentioned, because my mother is your age, actually. Don't tell her I told you, right? But she's still working. And, you know, and she has a pretty good job now. But what I would ask you is, what can people do? You know, so actually she's pretty good with the computer. She's pretty tech savvy. But how do you get around if you're an older person, really? I mean, how can you, do you have to hire a headhunter? And let's say, you know, you're in that tweener stage. Now she's in Michigan. So Michigan isn't a tech area like Austin. You're in Austin, I'm in Miami, but Austin and Bay Area and some places, you know, Michigan got hit pretty hard in 08, 07 because of the auto industry and just the economy in Michigan. But so it's kind of a tweener. Sometimes I feel like when you're that age and you can't quite retire yet, but you know, you're trying to, how can you show your value and really make a jump and show that, you know, You shouldn't be working for a job under the recent graduates. You know what I mean? That you actually, but you're in that in between stage. I mean, what would you recommend to somebody in that? I guess that's a lot of people who you help in terms of the second half. You mentioned the second half of life. What can people do that are that age to really demonstrate their value and to stand out? Because they might get judged for their age, to be honest, right?
Right. So, number one, it doesn't matter who you are competing against jobs with people all over the world.
That's right.
Right? Location is unimportant these days. So the key thing here is with any hiring manager, how do I know your stuff? And that is getting online and demonstrating your skills. Now, this can be, as I've done with a couple of clients, where we have literally put whole portfolios of work up on their LinkedIn profile. We've worked with a couple of clients to develop personal websites. I've got a client right now who he is turning himself into a thought leader on purposely.
And how is he doing that? How's he doing that?
He is creating a website. He happens to be in the digital transformation space.
Okay.
And he is producing videos. He has produced a blog. He has got people talking to him. By the way, he's in his 50s.
Wow.
And in fact, he's having a good time. He's producing videos getting the camera. His biggest problem is he does it on he takes a green sheet and puts it behind him.
Green screen.
Obviously, green screen.
Well, it's better than nothing. He's doing something, taking action. Right.
It's very obvious that he knows his stuff. And the other piece is, you have to remember, we are rapidly reaching the point of being location independent for work. And I've got a number of ways of finding out, of getting on LinkedIn and finding the companies that have employees in your area. And by the way, these companies may have absolutely zero location in your area. So you've got to open up your perspective. You have to think like a hiring manager and a recruiter and get out of the, Oh, I'm going to wait until someone lays me off and then I'll go look for a job.
Yeah.
Nope. You should be looking now. Back in 2006-07, I'm a part of a major job club here in Austin. And back in the mid part of the last decade, I ran a survey. And one of the things we discovered was semiconductor engineers, geeks, were getting laid off about every 3 years. The semiconductor industry, the cycles have been speeding up. So who are geeks? Who are semiconductor engineers? Well, they're largely geeks. They're introverts. They like sitting behind their screens. Do they like outlook? Do they like looking for jobs? The answer is heck no. So you have to tell them, by the way, you need to be always looking for your next job. And for them, it's real uncomfortable. They don't like doing it. And I've got several friends, and I affectionately call them geeks. I mean, geek,
I like
geek is good.
I have a little geek in me as well. I know some.
Well, I used to refer to myself when I worked for IBM as a geek that can speak.
There you go.
And but that's not natural.
So you have
for
to
them.
Get out and look for the job, and they don't want to do it. You have to, because you don't want to wait until it's too late, right?
And the other thing to remember is, particularly as you get older, your next job will come through a relationship. Now, we have lots and lots and lots of relationships because, as I said, I've been working for 40 years. I know lots of people. By the way, the people who I don't know incredibly well anymore are actually my most valuable connections. It's a concept called weak ties. It came out of a 1973 Stanford study, and the concept is those people who know you but don't know you well are more valuable than the people who know you really well. And the reason why is they know people you don't. Your best friend, the guy who works next to you, he knows the same people you do. So when you have kids, some of your most valuable connections are your kids, friends, parents.
Right, because in your network, they already know people you know, and new people might know new people, or people you don't know as well may know new people.
Well, I'll give you an idea. When I went off after my bike accident and taught high school math for 2 years, my most valuable person networking for my teaching job was my chiropractor.
I love chiropractors.
She's the other woman in my life. I've been with her for almost 30 years.
How are you doing, by the way? This is a good
question. I'm fine. Good. She keeps me on the straight and narrow.
Sure. I had a stress fracture in my back. I was in a brace for 6 months, and I found a chiropractor when I was young. I somewhat can relate. So basically, what's your terminology for that? The weak ties?
Weak ties. It's a very famous study. I picked it up out of Adam Grant's book, Give and Take.
Okay.
I've got an article in Forbes late last year on that whole concept of these are people. I'll use the example. I've got a former client who was laid off at the age of 59. He sold equipment that packaged food. Very, very niche. We got him hired again, and it came through someone he had worked with 15 or 20 years earlier who remembered him, and he ended up finding a job in an adjacent industry, a company that sold sensors for the machine that he used to sell.
So it came through that weak tie. And
it came through someone who knew him.
Extended beyond, he knew him a little bit, but there would be no way because it's a weak tie, that person that you kind of know, they have such a bigger a network that it allows you to connect. And so what I'm hearing is, you know, show that you can do the job. On your LinkedIn, have examples of your work. Maybe also have videos of yourself so somebody knows that you know your stuff. And use weak ties and build your network that way. People you know a little bit and add them on LinkedIn, keep in touch maybe, but that'll expand your network. And the other thing I like what you said, Mark, is I've actually advised people, I've hired, I don't know, 100 to 200, maybe more people, including the people that do small contractor jobs over 15 years. And I would say I like all those things. And if people want to look for a job, they can hire somebody on Upwork.com. And you can find people, for example, great people in the Philippines, if you look through enough and find one you connect with for a couple dollars an hour, a few dollars an hour, that can actually do that for you while you're working. And $3 a day, that's less than in California. We're in Florida, but in California, lunch might cost 15. So, you know, somebody could be looking for a job for you. You mentioned some people just don't want to do it. And I understand. My mother, she's working 12-hour days sometimes. She may not have time. So I really love those tips. So you've written articles for Forbes all over the place, Mark. What, and I think you have some free white papers on your website, careerpivot.com. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I've got a brand new book coming out in April called Repurpose Your Career, A Practical Guide for the Second Half of Life. And if you go to careerpivot.com/believe, will pick up 4 preview chapters. And my favorite one in there is my chapter on MSU syndrome. And MSU stands for Make Stuff Up.
Tell me about that, because that also stands for Michigan State University, and I played football for the University of Michigan, the Wolverines. So tell me about the website is careerpivot.com/believe, which I love. Tell me about MSU syndrome, because that's funny.
We all suffer from it. And by the way, I'm a Northwestern graduate, so
okay.
I won't hold it
okay.
against,
so
won't
we
hold
both,
it against
we
you.
Both feel MSU is a rival in a way. That's
well,
great. Michigan State, right?
Okay, how many times have you said, oh my gosh, if I do this, they're not going to hire me.
Sure.
And how do you know that? Or I had a client who said, you know what? I want to work for, my dream job is working for The Economist. And I went, how do you know that? And he goes, well, they create great content. And how do you know it's not a sweatshop?
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
We make stuff up in our brains. We have triggers that cause us to go, oh, you know, I'll use the example. I had a client, recruiter's been, was really good about responding, and suddenly the recruiter stopped responding. And suddenly, oh my gosh, they've decided I'm not the right candidate. And a week went by and I'm saying, calm down. You don't know anything. You're making that up. Well, turns out the recruiter's mother got sick and had to go off and take care of her. We create
our own blockages, don't we? We block ourselves. I mean, I've done this. I'm usually on the ball, but I'm not 100% correct. And in my life, I have done what you're talking about more than once. In fact, I thought about this, creating this show like 2 years ago. I had some great experience and eye-opening and, you know, similar in a way, not necessarily like your accident, but we have these eye-opening moments. But it took me a long time in processing a lot of fear. And what can people do to kind of work through this making stuff up syndrome, MSU syndrome, that you talk about in your white papers, your free white papers?
Sure. Yeah. Sure. One of the key things is, number one, first notice that you do it. Because what it does is it causes you stress. And once you have, you know, when something happens and it doesn't turn out the way you thought it would, which, by the way, most of the time it doesn't.
That's correct.
Then go back and say, okay, what did I make up and how did it actually turn out? And it's learning how to catch that and catching it early. When you go into stress, it's when we don't have enough information, we have a habit of making stuff up. We want to fill the void.
Yeah.
And the key piece is learning how to catch yourself when you do that.
And what do you do at that point when you do catch yourself? Because you're right, awareness is the first step. What do you recommend when you catch yourself? I mean, what
action
should you
take? Well, it's rather interesting.
Yeah.
If it's a repetitive situation, in my book, I talk about one client who, she works for a bully. And every time her boss would call her, she would tense up. Well, I call it, she developed what I refer to as a stop, drop, and roll procedure. So we learn as children, if our clothes catch on fire, we're trained to go, oh, rather than go, ah, and run, to stop, drop, and roll. In her case, every time her boss calls, she learns not to answer the call. She will then text her back and say, is there something I can help you? I can't talk to you right now. And so what she does is she has learned how to control the dialogue. But she had to come up with a procedure in which she would do that.
That's correct. So what I hear is that you're right. We all have limits as we're working through things. We have to put ourselves in the best position we can to achieve success. And sometimes that means, like as you mentioned in that case, controlling the dialogue just so we can be effective. It doesn't mean we're we want to insult the other person or anything, but we have to make it so we can actually perform as well and kind of walk a fine line and be effective, but also make it so we can operate if there's a tough situation, right?
Yeah, so use example, this same client, if she's in a big meeting, she doesn't want to sit across from her boss. Now this, by the way, this is a very experienced, very highly paid professional. And what she's learned to do is she waits for her boss to take a seat first, and then she sits on the same side of the table.
I see.
But she has to wait for her boss to take a seat.
And she does that so it's...
So her boss doesn't sit across with her and then she can her boss can take a pot shot at her.
Ah. So she's just making herself comfortable in little ways, but those little ways can make all the difference. I did the same thing just with this show. I mean, instead of spending to get this started, you could spend six figures getting some kind of studio. I did it smaller at first. Now I'm seeing if there's any kind of response, and then but it'll get me to actually do it. You mentioned the guy making the videos. Well, he has a green screen right now. He just tapes a green paper on the wall, but hey, he's doing it. If he gets a great response and he sees a reason for it in the future, he can upgrade. So the lady is putting herself in the best position to succeed by those little things, and those little things can mean actually sticking with the job and growing and being happier, or it can mean quitting and limiting yourself. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's figuring out, coming up with processes to deal with people you don't necessarily like to deal with. It's coming up with, when I said I had one client who they announced that there were going to be layoffs. And every sign was given to her that she was safe. In fact, they adored her, but she ignored it. And for the next day, she just fretted, stressed, didn't sleep. And the next morning she comes in, her boss says, oh, by the way, you're not laid off. You got your job. But by the way, we're going to be the lead on our Primo project.
Wow.
And it's, but the stress that she put herself through. And by the way, we all do this.
That's right. That's right.
We fill the void, and it's learning. And this is where, when we are in change, whether it's looking for a job, whether changes are occurring within the business, I always claim assumptions are very, very dangerous. Don't assume. Go get the facts.
We play tricks on ourselves, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Well, when I went off to teach high school math, I said, they're going to want me. I've been teaching engineers in 40 different countries for 20 years. And they need math teachers. Of course they're going to want me. No, they didn't. They don't want guys over 40.
Can't say that because it's discrimination, no. But you knew that was the... What was really going on?
When I first applied for my math teaching certificate, the first question they asked was, what was my college GPA? What were all the names and telephone numbers of my previous supervisors? My first boss was 1976, Bob. He was a heavy smoker, and he was in the late 40s. I think he's dead. You know, I missed every sign. And what they want is very compliant people.
Ah.
And those guys over 40, we don't do what we're told.
Well, yeah, a lot of times you know where things could run better, especially engineers.
Well, rather interesting. I mentored my principal. We were the first school in the district to get a Gates Foundation grant for high school redesign. And I was mentoring my principal because twice at IBM, I had re-engineered organizations successfully. And I can tell you, I can't make you do anything. And my principal's just going, we're going to tell them what to do, and they're just going to go do it. I said, no, they're not.
Yeah.
They're going to walk back to their classroom, shut the door. They're going to agree to do something, go back to their classroom, shut the door, and do whatever they damn well please.
That's right. That's right. Actually, a great book, and I want to ask you again about your book, Mark. We're talking to Mark Miller from CareerPivot.com. Go to CareerPivot.com/believe and tell us the title of your book coming out April 2017 again, Mark.
Yes, it's going to be Repurpose Your Career, A Practical Guide for the Second Half of Life.
Oh, that's great. So you can get the first four chapters at CareerPivot.com/believe. And actually, a great book as well is How to Win Friends and Influence People, and written by Dale Carnegie, which goes over, we're talking about dealing with people, and this is something I can do a better job of. But Mark, I love Mark because actually, we have people, you know, for men, it's easier to break things down into simpler things. And we've had great people and things I'm into as well, like neuro-linguistic programming, hypnosis, all of those things work as well. And then if you want to really simplify it as well, you know, there's so many ways you can look at playing tricks on yourself. It's good to take a full approach, to do things, to work on your subconscious, to do just little things that you can do every day without thinking about it. And also, Mark, how do you work with people? It sounds like you have different clients and things like that. Tell us about how people can work more with you or learn more about your services.
Sure. Go to CareerPivot.com. You can hit the little contact me tab at the on the top of the page. Or I even have my phone number on the top of the and I do answer that phone, or at least leave me a message.
That's
I'll
great.
Call you back. I work with clients all over the world. I have clients right now in Germany and England. I have clients in Peru, Saudi Arabia, Singapore, Switzerland. And the whole idea is the first thing I do is I get you to know thyself. And that is absolutely key. And that's the one I've been told. That's the one thing I am different in from most career professionals. Is I want you to know who you are and what you've done to yourself before you figure out what's next.
I applaud that because we've talked about in videos on our YouTube, youtube.com/believe loves you. Of course, our website's believe.love. We've talked about on videos, I've mentioned that a lot of times in order to take action, whether you're building a business or you want a better job, dealing with those blockages, you know, somebody can give you a list of 10 things to do. And I know this has happened with me. Why don't we actually do them? And usually the reason why, a big one, is looking at and loving ourselves and really getting serious about analyzing the truth about where we're at and our skills and everything. Everything can improve, but it starts with a real accurate analysis. And that's what I'm hearing that Mark does. He will work with you if you go to careerpivot.com. And you can work with them. And actually, Mark, you've spoken, you said in 40 countries or 42. Tell us
40
about
countries.
Yeah, tell us about that. Do you what happens when you're speaking? What kind of events have you spoken at? That's really awesome.
I've spent most of my career in training. So most of my speaking career has been technology junk. I now do. You know, I spoke at South by Southwest a year ago on personal branding. I talk about job search. My current favorite topic is how not to be a turkey in your career. By the way, turkeys, they're raised by butchers. They're born into sterile environments. Every day is better than the last. And for 3 years, they live a wonderful life. Until the third year, the fourth Thursday of November, when suddenly it's not so good to be a turkey.
It reminds me of Office Space, the movie Office Space, actually. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, the challenge is a lot of what people do today is project-based, and projects come to an end. Now, I use the example when I worked for IBM, Christmas of 1992, or the end of 92, early 93, IBM nearly went bankrupt. Well, previous to that, I was a turkey.
Sure, that woke you up, didn't it? Betcha.
Well, think if you were a petroleum engineer 3 years ago, you thought you were fat, dumb, and happy.
And then oil took a plunge.
Yeah. What happened if you'd worked for Enron back in 2001? You would have thought you were fat, dumb, and happy, and you were rich. There are a lot more situations than that than you think.
I believe that.
So you have to learn not to be a turkey.
Don't be complacent.
And that is
right?
Always looking for what's next.
Yeah, and I think everybody can have a personal assistant. I mean, Upwork.com, Freelancer.com, Guru.com. But some of the assistants, especially in the Philippines, Indonesia, heck, in the United States as well, you can find great people online to work an hour a day, an hour every other day. And especially if you're at a career where you are an engineer, or you're in tech, you can afford $4 an hour or $10 an hour hiring somebody in the U.S., in the Midwest, or wherever they are. You know, you're going to connect with some of those people. You're going to get a chance to hire people and see what it's like to go through and see who's paying attention to details. But I think that can help people to actually be able to always be looking for what's next, like Mark is saying. Mark, let me ask you this. What is your top recommendation for people who want to get a better job and improve their life? Not only getting a better job, but improving their life. What do you recommend that would help them the most when they're looking to both, you know, grow and be quote unquote more successful?
Okay. Number one, get out of your head. We all have this vision of who we are. And by the way, not one of us see ourselves the way other people see us. So as you do this, and I've got a whole bunch of systems of getting you to understand who you are. I'll use example. One exercise I do with all my clients when we get into branding is go ask three people who know you from work and three people who know you from your personal life. And say, give me 3 to 5 phrases that describe me. I guarantee you will be surprised. And then you can take those terms and phrases and turn them into your words. And then when someone says, hey, tell me about yourself, that's one piece of ammunition that you can tell people who you are and not what you've done.
So okay. I really hear awareness. It's, you know, and also from other perspectives, not just our own, right? A lot of times we're locked in on our own thing, and it can limit ourselves. We can limit ourselves by being just locked in by what we think, right? It's about how other people see us as well, isn't it?
Oh, you betcha. This is particularly many of us. Again, I turned 60 last year, and I am, you know, I'll use myself as an example. I'm a closet introvert. I appear to be an extrovert. I'm a phenomenally good public speaker. I just did a networking event today at lunchtime. I'm good at it. Oh, when I'm done, I walk off the stage. I walk out of the room. My knees buckle. I'm exhausted.
I don't get
energy from that, but I'm good at it. I've learned to be good at it. Now, am I being my authentic self? No. I get paid a lot better for doing that.
Sure.
So we learn how to develop skills that are not tied to our talents. And by the way, when you overuse skills that are not tied to your, you know, your God-given talents, that's when you get burnout.
Yeah.
So I've got a Larry Bird quote.
I love Larry Bird. What is that quote?
Well, it says, you know, a winner is someone who understands their God-given talents, works like hell to develop skills so that they can pursue to be a winner, something like that. And if you remember Larry Bird, he wasn't a great athlete. He was slow. He couldn't jump. But I claim probably his innate talents were probably great vision and great hand dexterity, which he turned himself into a great shooter and passer.
You're right. I love Larry Bird. I love people who defeat the odds. For me, I know what you mean about the speaking. I have to. This doesn't seem like much, and like you're saying, when you're speaking, it could seem easy. I had to lay down too, and I think there's beauty in also getting out of your comfort zone and actually probably the things that seem the toughest in life, loving the things that seem the toughest, whether it's our challenges, our deep-rooted things that prevent us from doing things, or taking a leap of faith and putting yourself out there and doing things that might be outside of our skill set. I think there's some beauty in that, the toughness of that as well, the growth. I think that's where real growth can come from. And I think that Mark really is somebody that has so much experience that if I were looking for a job and I wanted to get serious about it, it sounds like Mark has so many systems about how things are working nowadays. Meaning, you know, for people, especially Mark, you mentioned you work with people in the second half of their sort of career life, right? People, you know, times have changed. People are looking online. Mark is in the technology community. Again, you can download for free. He's been very generous because writing a book is tough. I'm writing one right now, and you know, people don't necessarily do it to make a lot of money. He's put a lot of work into it. CareerPivot.com/believe. You can get the first four chapters. And Mark, what else would you like to leave us with? Because you've had such a lot of great insight, and I appreciate so much your knowledge. There's so much more that I'm going to go get your white papers. I want to check them out myself on your website.
Yeah, the key thing here is I keep on coming back to it's know thyself, it's assumptions, and you ain't going to do it alone. Excuse my French there. I always joke, I'm on my seventh career. Some people say I can't hold a job. And I claim every one of my career changes has been a half-step career change. I had one foot in the new world. I had one foot in the old world. And there was always a relationship that took me across. In other words, I never did it alone. So building the relationships is absolutely key.
How do you do that, Mark? Because that is the key. How do you do that? What's a quick way? What's a quick tip when it comes to that?
I call it, whenever I meet somebody, if I want to meet somebody and I get an introduction, my first thing is to ask for AIR. And when AIR stands for advice, insights, and recommendations. By the way, when you ask for advice, it's a compliment. People don't turn you down. And by the way, if they do turn you down, they're jerks and you don't want to talk to them anyway.
Right, right.
Then you ask for their insights. But the last thing is you always ask for the recommendation. What should I do next? Who can you introduce me to next? And the key piece there is, by the way, to do the same thing back.
Give it to them, not just
give
take.
Give it to them. That's why I love the book Give and Take by Adam Grant. Givers come out on top, although no one would think that. It's going out and being, well, I'll put it this way. When I go network,
we've been talking a long time. By the way, the book, The Power by Rhonda Byrne, which is the book after The Secret, she basically says the exact same thing that Mark's saying in regards to love and anything good in your life. If we're sitting with a hole, and sometimes we felt a hole inside in general, something lacking, you know, we have to give it first instead of waiting for everybody to want to give it to us and fill our hole. And it's good for Mark to just remind me of this whole concept because I have to do it more too. Giving love first, and then we'll receive it, as opposed to just taking. So go ahead, continue, Mark.
Yeah, my goal is when I meet someone is how can I help them? And I expect zero in return. Now, will things come back? Maybe. Usually they'll come back when you least expect it. So I have a fellow author here in Austin, Steve Harper, who has a book called The Ripple Effect. And he equates it to a drop of water that goes into a pool and it creates a ripple. That ripple will go out. Will it come back? Maybe, maybe not. But if it does come back, it probably will come back when you least expect it. So it's doing good things and not expecting things in return. And what you'll find is over time, that has an added effect. And
it'll build up like a snowball, right? If you're doing that all the time for different people, things will just happen out of nowhere more and more. Is that correct?
That's right. And don't expect, you know, a tit for tat. This is, again, what out of Adam Grant's book, where he talks about is giving. Now, he talks about giving in chunks, and there's a whole science behind it. But it's learning to be a giver and not a taker. Long term, you will be much better off.
Well, Mark, that is a beautiful place to leave it, because that's a lesson that can help us in our careers, making money in our business. Always under promise and over deliver. Always, you know, thinking about giving and not expecting anything back, and those things will come. That's a beautiful concept in general that I can do a better job of, and all of us can. And Mark, you've been so gracious with your time. CareerPivot.com/believe to get 4 chapters of Mark's new book that's not even out yet. Go check it out there. And Mark, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.